be very good at parking to get three cars in that space. And if there are five or six students in that house, there'll be three or four cars, and the ones that they can't park on the front, they'll be parking on the street. I'm not going to vote for this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Forrest. I would remind people that whatever we vote this way will not alter the fact that that is an HMO and will stay as an HMO. And as regards parking, we can only go by the presumption that car parking is provided. It is not only there. I shall go home tonight and I won't be parking outside my own double-fronted house because someone else will be. Thank you. Councillor Lowe.
I'll echo your statement there, Chair. This is an HMO. There's nothing we can do about that, and it's going to remain HMO. I also echo, I think it was Councillor Tillerson that said, if this was a normal house, we'd be supporting it. If it wouldn't have even come to plans, it just would have been supported. I will be supporting this application. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Bentley, you would like to speak?
Well, I'll just... Get out of the habit of speaking when you're up here. Yeah, I'd like to support what Councillor Lowe has said. I totally agree with everything he's said. And I think we're ready to go to the vote.
We have a proposal to accept officer's recommendation, proposed by Councillor Bailey, seconded by Councillor Ransom, with the conditions which are in the paper regarding the highways and also the hours of work, as we normally do. Is that, could I see a show of hands, please? All the... Okay. Abstentions? No.
to record that vote, that was a 7-4 and 6 against. So the application is carried.
Before we carry on, Chair, can I ask for a bit of legal advice on this?
Yes.
Because I'm getting a little bit concerned. I've been a councillor for 35 years, not quite as long as you. I respect that, Chair. But I've always been under the impression that when a proposal is put, it's put. And we don't have three proposals on the table. One of the applications this evening, we had three proposals on the table that had all been seconded. That last one, we very nearly had two proposals on the table. Now, I don't think that's strictly right, but I'm sure I'll be told otherwise.
Yep, we've looked at this before. It's as long as the votes are taken in order that the proposals are put forward, it's then up to Chair how the meetings run and whether she accepts extra proposals or not. So we can have them on the table, but they must be taken in the order they're put forward unless they've been removed.
Thank you. We now move on to item 4 on page 59. Councillor Forrest.
I'm also going to join Councillor Lowe and be a bit awkward, and I'm so sorry. But before we start this... Oh, you are! Before we start this next application, could I have a little clarification, please? Item 4, I understand, has been called in by a councillor. Is that councillor here to speak to this application?
I was just going to say, councillor, to all the committee, Councillor Forrest, I have received a notification from Councillor Parton giving his apologies for not being here tonight. But as I was also going to say, after the officer has given his presentation, but from reading Councillor Parton's information to me, I am given to understand that he has had some acceptance and comfort in knowing from the report that this isn't going to be isn't an application on behalf of an HMO. It is a private development. And this has given him some comfort and consideration. But he did say, I do understand what you're saying. If a councillor's called it in and cannot attend, then he has or she has to make some arrangement, even if they can get another councillor to speak on their behalf. But Councillor Parton has written to us.
Well, thank you for that, Madam Chair. But, and I don't... Right. But Councillor Smidovitz couldn't come. But so she found someone to come in her place. And this matter could have been dealt with by officer delegation. Waste the officer's time, wastes our time.
I do appreciate that, and I think that will be brought up at some stage. As you know, I have been a single councillor ward. I have accepted a written representation when the councillor has not been able to attend. But I think we are all aware of this problem it causes us, but we have to go through the motions now.
Councillor Ransom.
No, I just was indicating that I would like to speak once the officers have given their... Sorry, Vice Chair, but you're not on the ball, are you?
I don't think we're allowed to take this as read. I think we have to have the presentation. So we will sit in utter quietness and listen to the officer. She will do it as quickly as she can and skip through, and then we will move forward.
Thank you, Chair. So, item 4, page 59, 117 William Street, erection of a single-storey extension to the side and rear of the dwelling. The property is a detached red brick and tile dwelling on the northern side of the street and within the Ashby Road conservation area. The property has a hard surface frontage, an existing covered way to the side and garage set to the rear. And the property is attached to number 119, which is the larger rendered and tiled dwelling on the left-hand side in the photo. As can be seen in the photo, the attic of the application property appears to have been converted to additional living accommodation and roof lights inserted, and these works didn't require planning permission, as set out on page 59 of your agenda. It's also important to mention that the property has been recently the subject of enforcement investigations where it was alleged it was being occupied as a HMO. The conclusion of those investigations is that it remains occupied as a Class C3 dwelling, so the extension should be considered tonight on that basis. So the photographs of the rear, this is the existing rear of the property. The image to the top left is the view down the drive, and you can see the existing garage, which is to be demolished, and you'll see the other lean-to additions in the other photos, as we saw on site today, which are also to be removed and demolished as part of the proposal. The bottom right image shows the rear of number 119, William Street, and the existing boundary fence and shrubbery. So these are the existing floor plans and elevations. You can see that the garage to be demolished is located on the boundary with number 115. These are the proposed floor plans and elevations. It's for a single-storey flat-roofed extension with the roof height carried through both elements of the proposal. The roof height would be 3.3 metres with the living room extension now offset from the boundary with number 115 by 0.4 of a metre. The existing garage here is on the boundary and already 2.9 metres high, so the difference between what's there and what's proposed isn't great. The kitchen part of the proposal extends along the boundary with the adjoining property by 3 metres as set out in the report. This on its own, without the living room extension, would be permitted development if it was reduced in height by 0.3 of a metre, because you can extend a depth of 3 metres, but not exceed 3 metres in height on the boundary to the eaves. But because it's combined with the other element of the extension, and it results in a much deeper extension overall, and because of the height and the linked arrangement, it means that the whole thing needs planning permission. So the key considerations, we've seen the use of the property has been clarified to be C3. If that occupation in the way it's lived in changes in the future, that would no doubt come before us for review as part of the enforcement of or investigation of future allegations. The applicant is aware of the Article 4 direction and the limitations of what can be done in terms of occupation have been explained. For the purpose of the application, it's to a dwelling where permitted development rights would exist, and this proposal should be considered on its design and physical merits. So in terms of the impact to amenities, this is fully assessed on page 65 of your agenda. The proposal accords with the 45-degree angle of light rule and wouldn't lead to significant losses of light or privacy due to the lack of overlooking windows in the scheme. And the orientation of the properties is such that light loss would be minimised. It's therefore considered that the proposal would accord with policy CS2 and EV1 and H17 and the adopted SPD on design. In relation to the impact on the conservation area, it's concluded that the proposal, because it's set entirely to the back, wouldn't harm the significance of the conservation area and would at least preserve its character and appearance as required by the Planning, Listed Building and Conservation Areas Act 1990. The proposal would also accord with policy CS14 of the core strategy that looks at impact on heritage assets. In terms of highways and parking, the proposal doesn't increase the number of bedrooms at the property and there's no additional car parking requirement generated by the proposed development, and the existing provision is considered sufficient under TR18. It's therefore concluded that in the context of existing development plan policies, the proposal would provide a reasonable ground floor extension that would have an acceptable impact on the amenities of neighbouring occupiers, heritage assets and highway safety, and it's recommended that planning permission is granted. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Ransom.
I would like to go with officers' recommendations. I'd like to, on one condition, that the hours, you're getting fed up of me tonight, putting conditions on various applicants. But application, yes, okay, Madam Chair, sorry about this. But it's in a residential area. It is in need of reconstruction because we all went there this afternoon. And may we have the hours of working as we normally do, please, the officers? Can I ask the officer where the working hours?
As we've previously said, if members are minded to put that on, you can, but there should be good reason. Just because it's a residential development doesn't necessarily justify that. And we shouldn't step on the toes of other legislation. Environmental health does cover this. I'm just looking, there has been... Oh, yeah, there has been an objection. I mean, it's up to members... I'm just very worried that members are starting to put this on every proposal, and it's not something that we would normally do under delegated powers because it is covered under... it is covered under environmental health. The other thing to consider is the implications of adding it. So whilst it might shorten the day so they're not disturbed in the evening, that development then takes longer because the amount of hours it takes to do... is the same. So whilst you might be reducing some noise in the evening, you're prolonging the build for a longer period.
Well, I'm happy to go with that recommendation from the actual officers. I don't know who else has actually run the tables prepared to do that, but their explanation is satisfactory to me. Thank you.
Okay, where's the second up?
Well, we did it at the same time.
Sandy is...
I'm just offering to second it if no one else has.
Thank you. No further speakers, so we'll go to the vote. All those in favour?
That's a unanimous...
A unanimous decision. Thank you. moving out of order of the applications, and we are moving to, I can just find my piece of paper, to page 90, because the next two items we will take after this one, our vice chair has to leave the room, and we very kindly said he can go home after this application. So, so is everybody there on page 90? This seems quite a good application. So, if we
thank you, Chair. Yeah. So, the application seeks listed building consent for the reinstatement of a damp-proof course to masonry walls at 22 Mill Road, Thurcaston. So the building consists of the converted outbuilding to the south of Vine House Farmhouse. The building dates from the 18th century, with restoration in the 20th century. The property is constructed from red brick on a granite and slate rubble stone plinth with a Switzerland slate roof. Number 22 is linked to the principal farmhouse by means of a Switzerland slate covered granary entrance. The building is Grade 2 listed and is located within the Thurcaston Conservation Area. The building was converted for residential use prior to its listing in the 1970s, and a damp-proof course was applied at this time. Unfortunately, it has since failed. So this is just aerial photography of the site, which is just here. And that's the granary entrance mentioned there, which cars can pass underneath. And there is access to additional, more modern, recently constructed dwellings to the rear. And again, external elevation, so it's this section of the building here, again attached to the original larger farmhouse building. And again, from the other angle. That's the side elevation. You can see obviously evidence of damp in this location here. And that's to the rear. And that's just the aspect to the rear as well. And just a closer look at the, obviously the brick as well there. So the application is supported by a building condition survey and damp survey. The survey gives a score between 1 and 10, 10 being the highest level of damp, different sections throughout the internal walls, and the readings taken give a score between 8.5 and 9, therefore concluding that the building does have a significant damp problem at ground floor level. This is an indicative external detail, so the proposed damp-proof course would involve the drilling of a hole every 50 centimetres at about 35 centimetres above ground floor level, and there would be 6 to 8 inches deep into the external wall. The holes are then capped with ventilation caps, which are made from cement, sand, and water, which look like this. And they can then be painted any colour to match the brickwork. The caps stand about 3 centimetres proud of the external wall. So in terms of the key issues then, the impact on the heritage and significance of the building and the Thurcaston Conservation Area. The application involves a small loss of historic fabric caused by the drilling of small holes at regular intervals. However, this loss of fabric is considered minimal. With regard to any impact on the aesthetic significance of the building and the wider conservation area, it is considered that, although the elements will be visible on close inspection, the regular spaced elements will blend in with the surrounding masonry. In accordance with guidance contained within the MPPF, it's considered that the works involved in the reinstatement of the damp-proof course would cause less than substantial harm to the significance of the designated heritage assets, that being the listed building and the Thurcaston Conservation Area. Having considered this harm against the public benefits provided by the proposals, as required by paragraph 196 of the MPPF. In this case, it is considered that the work would obviously rectify the failure of a previously installed damp-proof course and provide a long-term remedy for the problems associated with damp penetration, thus ensuring the building is of a standard appropriate for its residential use. and also taking into account the desirability of sustaining the significance of the heritage asset. This would continue their viable use consistent with their conservation. It's therefore concluded that the development would accord with policy CS2 and CS14, the core strategy, and the planning and listed building consent, listed building and conservation areas Act 1990 and the NPPF. The application is therefore recommended for approval as set out on page 94 of the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have any speakers? Any proposals? Councillor Kempson. Councillor Ranson. Councillor Tassel. No further speakers. Can we go? We have a proposal and seconder to go with officer's recommendation. Can I see a show of hands?
It's a unanimous vote in favour of officer's recommendation.
Before you carry on, Chair, can I just ask for information why that report came to us and why it wasn't done under delegated powers?
It's because it's not delegated. It's a employee or councillor currently, so it's not delegated.
Okay. We're now moving backwards in your agenda. We're going to page 68. I've just let the Vice-Chair leave the room. Deputy Chair. Right. Deborah, you're taking this one?
Thank you, Chair. So item 5, page 68, the Stable School Lane Woodhouse, the applications for the continuation of the use of the land for the keeping and riding of horses. Members will recall the consideration of an application at the last meeting of the Plans Committee relating to the conversion of the existing substantial stables at the site to a dwelling and which members refused. This current application relates to a former agricultural field located to the northwest of those stables and with the whole site lying between School Lane and Forest Road. So this is the first of two applications before members tonight for consideration, and both are reported to Plans Committee in accordance with the Council Scheme of Subdelegation to Heads of Service embedded within the Constitution. So this plan of the conservation area boundary, members may recall that the boundary, these are the existing stables building here, so the conservation area boundary coincides with the back of the existing stables, and the access and parking area is within the conservation area. The field we're talking about tonight is this one here, which is wholly outside. So that's the aerial photo. I'm not sure if you can make out. The site is a grassed field at the moment with hedges to both sides. That's Forest Road at the top end with School Lane down here with the access and the car parking area. This photo is predating the erection of paddock fencing and the erection of wooden stables and the shed, which is part of the second application you'll hear tonight. So the field is approximately 0.9 hectare and is set to the rear of number 48 to the south, and number 46, otherwise known as the homestead, with which the access to the site is shared. So the proposal is to continue the use of the land edged red for the keeping and riding of horses as a recreational activity for the benefit of the landowner, family and friends. The application is accompanied by a planning statement which sets out the site has been within the family for several decades and has been personally used by the applicant for a long period of time, albeit without the benefit of planning permission. The application therefore seeks to regularise the change of use from an agricultural use to an equestrian one. And members may recall the site has car parking available in the immediate yard and also within the red line area. So the photograph at the top left of the slide is taken close to the gate to the field, and you can see part of the wooden structure which features in the next application to be put to members. The second photo on the top right is the view looking north towards Forest Road, and the bottom photo is looking in the opposite direction towards the southwest of the site and the boundary of number 48 School Lane. You can see that there's been a series of enclosures formed within the site from the post and rail fencing. So the key considerations are set out in your agenda report, together with the relevant development plan policies. In terms of the principle of development, Woodhouse is identified as a small village or hamlet in the core strategy. As such, it's considered to be an unsuitable location for new development. However, policy CT1 of the Borough of Charnwood local plan provides for uses which are of an appropriate scale and environmental impact that would improve facilities for recreation or leisure uses. Policy CT2 also allows such development where it would not harm the character and appearance of the countryside. And this approach is reinforced in the more recent policy CS11 of the core strategy, which requires development to protect landscape character and reinforce a sense of place, also considering the relevant landscape character assessment, which in this case is that of the Charnwood Forest character area. So equestrian uses by their nature are often found in the countryside, and the proposal is considered to be acceptable in principle. So the policy requirement is that proposal shouldn't harm the character or appearance of the countryside. As shown in the photos, the field retains an open and undeveloped character, interrupted only by the post and rail fencing to create the separate paddocks. Such enclosures are common to equestrian uses, and it's considered that they don't visually harm the appearance and character of the countryside, particularly as they can be easily removed or relocated. The proposal would therefore retain the pastoral character of the land, and the use is considered to have not introduce visual harm, and thereby in accordance with policy CS11, CT1 and CT2. The impact on residential amenities is fully set out in the agenda report. It's important to acknowledge that the access to the site is an existing one, which is unrestricted in terms of the type and frequency of vehicles which can use it. Your officer considers that the continuation of the use on the current basis would be unlikely to attract significant additional traffic to and from the site, which could possibly cause attendant noise or disturbance. In the event planning permission is granted, it's recommended that condition 2, as set out on page 76, be imposed. It's considered that this would restrict the equestrian use to the land owner for their private recreational purposes only, and wouldn't permit a livery or riding school use to become established on a commercial basis. Yeah. In this way, the amenity impacts of the proposal can be controlled and maintained at an acceptable level in accordance with policies CS2 and EV1. So in terms of the highways and car parking, there are no proposed alterations to existing arrangements, and the officer report considers the existing situation where it's used for large and small vehicles. Sites located at the end of School Lane where speed of passing traffic is likely to be low, and whilst the access wouldn't necessarily meet current standards in terms of highways, it's continued that restricted use would be acceptable in highway safety terms in accordance with policy TR18 and paragraph 109 of the MPPF. In terms of other matters, the issue of space standards for horses has been raised on behalf of a neighbour, and this is addressed in page 75 of your agenda. In summary, animal welfare standards are covered by separate legislation, and although one of the neighbours suggests a limit to be put on the number of horses which could be kept at the site, As has been suggested, officers consider the use is better controlled through that condition number two, to restrict it to the landowner rather than counting horses. In conclusion, members will be aware that decisions need to be made in accordance with the adopted development plan, and taking all matters into account, it's recommended permission be granted. Thank you.
Very much. Do I have any speakers, proposers? Councillor Tillotson.
Yeah, I want to ask a question first, really. It's less than a hectare, and it says on page 73 that the recommended ratio by the British Horse Society is a ratio of 2 horses per hectare. So we shouldn't be agreeing this if we believe there to be more than 2 horses used on this site. Do we have any sense of how many horses there actually are on this site?
Through you, Chair, the neighbour has come to us and quoted the horse standards as set out in the report. That isn't animal welfare, and what the ratio should be or shouldn't be isn't a matter that on which the application should be determined. If there is separate legislation, that would be controlled separately, and they would still be subject to that, separate to the use of the land.
My youth, I suppose, when I was quite keen on equestrian this and that, it's not good for the horse at all if they're on land that's overused, because they get worm, and that's fatal to horses generally. So I am a bit concerned about this, I have to say.
I think your points are noted, Councillor. Councillor Bailey.
Thank you very much, Chair. I understand what Councillor Tillotson's points, but as far as I'm aware, that will be picked up under animal welfare regulations and not planning law. I agree with officers' recommendations that it should be only used for private use and not for any commercial use. It's certainly not big enough for any commercial use in my mind, and therefore I would go with propose that we go with officers' recommendations.
Councillor Snart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just referring to now to the other comments on page 73, and it doesn't seem to me to be the problem with the horses in terms of what they're saying. What it seems to be is that there are other persons and the amount of traffic that is going up there. Now, I just test my understanding on grant conditionally the recommendation and the on two it says for the landowner only. Should that actually include to say that it should the horses should be in the ownership of the landowner only, and that would actually probably get over the issues that are actually there at the moment?
I don't know whether that's in our power, Councillor, because it might be the grandmother's horse. Do you want to say it's a family horse? Because the land has been in the family for some time.
I'm just a little bit worried, Chair, about the enforceability of that, because there is no way of proving who owns a horse, whereas who uses the land is more easily to enforce.
I think it would be quite difficult to enforce, to have people going down there every weekend to check whose horse it is.
The only one thing I'm worried about, I guess, is the amount of traffic that is there. And apparently it's not just cars and such, but it's horse boxes that are going down there as well. And as you know from being on the site, it ain't that big a road to go down with all that traffic going down.
I don't think we have proof of how much traffic's going down, and if you've got horses, you're going to have a horse box. But, Councillor Bailey, you...
Yeah, if I may come back, Madam Chair. I don't know whether this is feasible or not, but could we add a line in that sort of reiterates that it's not for commercial use, that it's only for private use? I know it says livery and riding school operations, but if you've put in a commercial use, i.e. money changing hands, then surely, I don't know, again, I don't know how enforceable that is, but I was just trying to pick up on what Councillor Snart's already said.
Yes, so what you're saying is change it to say, the second sentence to say, there shall be no livery, commercial activity or riding school use operating. If members wanted to do that, they could.
And you're happy with that if you're the proposer, Councillor? No, you're happy with the seconder? Right, are there any other speakers? Can we, we've had it proposed and seconded that we accept officers' recommendations with the amendment to condition 2 to insert, and we'll leave the wordings to the officers, delegate to the officers, to indicate no commercial business or work being carried out on the site. Can I see all those in favour? Sorry, all those in favour?
11.
And me?
Yeah, that's 11.
So vote 11 in favour and one abstention, so the recommendation was carried.
Thank you. Move on to page 78. On your agenda, the same site, and we'll pass straight to the officer.
Thank you. So this is the second application relating to the stable site before members tonight. The application concerns the erection of two timber structures which have been erected for use in association with the keeping of horses at the site. As a reminder, this is also reported under the sub-delegation to heads of service under the Constitution. So here is an aerial photo showing the field to the left, which you've just considered. Under the previous application, the shared access can be seen on the stables building. And as we can see, the photo doesn't show the paddock fencing that's been erected. The photo predates the erection of these structures, which are located to the north and northwest of the existing stables building, with the larger structure, as we saw, just inside the gates of the field that we've just considered. So the proposal is to retain two timber structures at the site, as highlighted in yellow, the smaller one to the north of the stone stables building, and the larger one occupies a position just inside the gate. The smaller building is a stable with overhanging canopy, and the larger is a stable stroke store, hay store, with metal gates in the western elevation opening out towards the field. So this is the smaller structure within the existing yard area. The dimensions can be found on page 78 of your report. You can see it sits on a slabbed base and has a slightly overhanging canopy with a traditional stable door on the front. This is the larger structure within the paddock. The dimensions can be found again on page 79 of your agenda. You can see it's got two elements to it, a stable to the front and a store shed to the rear with the metal gates opening outwards. So again, key considerations, the principle of the development in the countryside. Woodhouse is identified as a small village, but policy CT1 and CT2 allows development where it doesn't harm the character or appearance of the countryside for uses that are small in scale and related to recreational leisure uses. Equestrian uses by their nature are often found in the countryside, as we've seen, and the proposal is considered to be acceptable in principle and related to the use of the wider site. So the policy requirement is that the proposal shouldn't harm the character or appearance of the countryside. As shown in the photo, the smaller structure is located within the existing yard and close to the existing stables building, and the larger structure is located close to other well, a group of similar buildings belonging to the landowner of the land to the north. You can just see in the back of that photo another structure. So they're grouped so as to not be visually incongruous from public viewpoints. The buildings are timber construction and of a suitable design for their purpose. And it's considered that the scale, the siting and design are such that they don't visually harm the appearance and character of the countryside. And the proposal would retain the rural character. And in these ways, the proposal accords with policy CS11, CT1 and CT2. And again, the impact on residential amenities is set out in the report. The existing vehicular access is unrestricted in terms of its use. And certainly in terms of the agricultural use, where it could be used by tractors or trailers with livestock on the back. And it's the two additional stables are unlikely to attract additional significant traffic. Again, condition two is suggested to limit the use to the private recreational activities of the landowner and not permit the commercial. You probably want to consider revising that as per the previous one. So in terms of highway and car parking, there's no proposed alterations to be made, and the access has previously been considered and found to be acceptable under policy TR18 and 109 of the National Planning Policy Framework. Again, space standards for horses has been mentioned on this application with a duplicate response from the neighbour relating to both proposals, and it suggested condition two would control the use and limit the use to be acceptable to in terms of the impact on amenities. So taking all these matters into account, it's recommended permission be granted.
Thank you very much. Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a bit of clarification, if I may, with certainly looking at the picture we've got in front of us currently. Is there any restriction on them putting hard standing in front of those buildings? Or is that, would they have to seek consent, or is that just something they could do?
Yeah, it's operational development and would require consent.
Thank you. Just because obviously looking at those buildings, there's no hard standing around them other than a little bit in front of the stable element, not the sort of the straw bit and straw barn at the back. I think if we add the commercial element wording that we've added to the previous one, I'm happy to go with recommendations and propose that.
Councillor Snart, your second?
Yeah, I think that. Could for clarification, they've been doing this for 10 years. Have they been 10 years? And couldn't you have this under certificate of lawfulness?
In order to, they'd have to be able to prove to us that the use has been in operation for 10 years to be able to get the certificate of lawfulness. I can only guess that they can't prove that. In terms of the buildings, they would need to be there for 4 years to be able to apply for a certificate of lawfulness. Again, that's, and they'd have to prove when they were erected. Again, they've not chose to go down that route.
Councillor Tillotson, you wanted to speak?
I did, thank you, Chair. Those of us who visited the site last month, was it, when we considered turning the previous stable block, which is for at least from memory 4 horses, and we've already established that's too many for the site. I can't see any reason for these to be in existence because they've got a perfectly good stable block which we've refused permission for them to turn into a bungalow. So I shall not be going with officer recommendation.
Thank you. Any others? Right, I have a proposal on the table proposed by Councillor Bailey and seconded by Councillor Snart to go with the officer's recommendation. Can I See a show of hands, please. Against? Thank you.
That was a vote, 8 in favour, 4 against, so the recommendation was carried.
With the amendment to condition 2, as previous. Thank you very much. Page 96, which is the delegated planning decisions made since our last report. This is for information only, and unless someone's got something they would like to clarify or a request of the officers, we will take it as read. Councillor Tassel.
11. Let me just go to it to see. Is it the discharge?
It's page 106.
That means that we allowed some elements of it but refused others. You can only make a split decision on advert determinations or discharge of conditions. So it meant some of the signs were acceptable, but we refused other signs within the decision.
Anyone else? Right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you again for your attention. I'm quite a heavy thing, and see you next time.